May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As I've mentioned this week, I've been just spending time with the Lord in Luke chapter 7. This is verse 1. And when he had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a certain centurion slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and about to die. And when he had heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking Jesus to come and save the life of his slave. And when they came to Jesus, they begged repeatedly, saying, "He, the centurion, is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." Now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying repeatedly to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself any further, for I am not qualified for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy, deserving to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For indeed, I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. To the another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the multitude that was following him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. And it came about soon afterwards that he went to a city called Nain. His disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large multitude. Now as he approached the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, but Jesus gave him back to his mother, and fear gripped them all. Interesting to me that they were so gracious to raise this almost to my eyeballs. There is this sweet spot when you're my age where you can actually see. The centurion slave who he cared a lot for was about to die. And when he heard that Jesus was in the area, he sent Jewish elders. Interesting. Asking Jesus to come and save the life of the slave. And when these Jewish elders came, it says they repeatedly begged Jesus with earnestness, saying to him repeatedly, "He's worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built our synagogue." Now, this was a very strategic move on the part of this centurion, is that he... It says later, as Jesus starts off on the way to his house, when he wasn't pretty close to the house, the centurion sent friends saying repeatedly to Jesus, "Do not trouble yourself any further, for I'm not fit," or the word is qualified, "for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, my servant will be healed." He talks about the authority issue. When he sent the Jewish elders, he sent them there on purpose because he felt they could influence Jesus to come and save, to heal this and his slave. Because the argument is, and was, they repeated it to Jesus again and again as they begged him to come, as if he needed begging. He's worthy, for he loves our nation, and he's the very one who built our synagogue. So the appeal to Jesus was that the centurion was worthy. He deserved this. And he sent Jewish elders who would be, if they said that about him, he must be worthy. Somewhere in the process, as Jesus is on the way to the guy's house to heal the slave, there was a change of heart tone in the centurion. Because he didn't send more Jewish elders, he sent friends to meet Jesus before he even got there. He said, "Hey, here's the deal. I'm not even fit for you to come into my house. I'm not qualified." He says, I'm not worthy to even come to you. Just say the word. My servant will be healed. Now again, we haven't talked about that this week. I don't know if we will the first or next week or not. Where most people land in this scripture, and they use another place in the gospel of the story, is that Jesus congratulates the servant, the centurion, because the centurion got the principle. He was a man under authority. One of the gospels says, I'm a man under authority too. And if I say to this one, go, they go. If I say to this one, come, they come. You too are a man under authority. Therefore, he understood that if Jesus acted, all the authority of heaven, all the power of heaven, all the resources of heaven would be available, would act. And that's true. But we kind of land there and go, that's what Jesus said, this man had such great faith. Or could it possibly be that at some point when Jesus was on the way, having been appealed to because the centurion was worthy, that the centurion got it, that it had nothing to do with his worthiness or his qualification, that he was simply counting on the compassion of Christ. Again, everything in Scripture is in sequence on purpose. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything arbitrarily. The very next story that's stuck in there is where? Jesus coming into the city of Nain. His disciples are with him. There's a large multitude there with him. As he approaches the city gate, there's a dead man being carried out. The only son of his mother, who was a widow, a sizable crowd from the city was with her, mourning. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said, do not weep. He touched the coffin and the boy was raised from the dead. Now, was there anything worthy about the woman, the widow? As far as I know, Jesus never met her. No Jewish elders were appealing to Jesus, hey, look, this woman's done this and that and really good woman. Well, it certainly wasn't the boy who was dead. He couldn't speak on his behalf that he deserved it either. I think the story here, is the other thing about authority true? Yes. But I think the real story here, because that's consistent with the context of the scripture, is that Jesus healed both of them because he was compassionate. He was coming when they appealed to him, saying that the centurion was worthy. He was coming. That's how gracious he is. But I think Jesus congratulated the centurion for his great faith. Because you see, the Jewish people always thought all the time, good person, holy father, you get blessed. Bad person, and everybody's bad. Perfect father, nobody gets blessed. And Jesus came to reveal the truth about the Father. That's what he says. No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. Jesus has explained him. And over again, Jesus did things, if you go and read through the scriptures, because he was moved by compassion. He revealed the fact that God is good. And if we go based on what we deserve, only thing any of us have ever deserved is hell. And I believe that Jesus was congratulating the centurion's great faith that he had not seen in Israel. Because somewhere in the process of Jesus leaving towards his house, the centurion got what the Jews didn't understand, that God was good. And that if Jesus healed his servant, it was because of the compassionate heart of God that Jesus carried. Not because he was worthy, not because he was adequate, because God was good. Jesus healed the boy in name because Jesus is good. Why is that important for you to hear? Because when you get that, it invokes the faith in us that so brings pleasure to God. Our faith is dependent not just on the power of God, but what if God weren't good? He's able, but he's just not really good. He's just in a bad mood most of the time. He's waiting for us to hit the bullseye perfectly every time, and then he'll bless us. How many people does David experience he may get under attack himself? Or people who go out with him to pray, and they just don't think they're adequate, don't think they're worthy. Jesus is not going to do stuff through them because they haven't learned enough, haven't studied enough, didn't hear the tape series, didn't go to the seminar. Now, because he's good, he likes to use us. It makes him feel good to make us feel good about him doing stuff through us. He enjoys us experiencing the pleasure of his favor. This never has anything to do with your worth or how adequate you are. It's always about the fact that he's good, that he's compassionate. That's the great faith, I believe, that Jesus was congratulating the centurion about, that the Jews just had a hard time getting. You know, remember his own disciples. In John chapter 9, when they come across this man born blind, and his disciples said, "Lord, why is he in this condition? Is it his sin or his parents' sin?" It's got to be because their unworthiness. Which one, whose unworthiness was the most? His parents or his? And Jesus didn't answer their question. He said, "It's for the glory of God." You're carrying on the wrong conversation. You're asking the wrong questions. This is about me demonstrating my goodness, my true nature, my glory. What's God's glory? His nature revealed. This is about me revealing the true nature of God, that he's good. Not about what this boy deserves, this man deserves, or doesn't deserve because something he did or his parents did. It's stunning, though, how we live that way so often, don't we? It just creeps in. It's just such a part of our fallen DNA. But it needs to not be a part of our spiritual new creation DNA. He blesses me because Jesus is worthy and I'm in Christ, and therefore it's all about his worth. Now who he is and how good he is. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.